Welcome to our deep dive. Today we're going to be talking about something that's seen some really wild changes over the last few decades.
Yeah.
Teen birth rates in the U.S. Yeah. We've got a whole bunch of research articles to look at.
Right.
And even a local news piece that caught my eye.
Okay.
So let's just dive right in, shall we?
Sounds good.
Okay. So this first one.
Yeah.
This TechTarget report on national birth statistics.
Yeah.
It really jumped out at me.
Okay.
It says that between 2000 and 2022, teen birth rates fell by a whopping 69%.
Wow.
I mean, is that even possible?
It is. And it's even more amazing when you think about the fact that the population of teenage girls actually grew during that same time.
Oh, wow.
By about 7%.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not just that there are fewer teenagers.
Yeah.
It's that there's a real change happening.
Yeah. Wow. That's a huge drop.
Yeah.
To put that in perspective, we're talking about over 475,000 births to teen moms in 2000.
Right.
Compared to just over 145,000 in 2022.
Yeah.
So that's over 330,000 fewer teen births. That's incredible.
Yeah.
But this isn't like a brand new thing, right?
Right. The Pew Research Center article that we have shows this has been going on for a while. Actually, teen birth rates have been falling pretty steadily since the 1990s.
Uh-huh.
And then there was like a steeper drop after the 2007 recession.
Oh, the recession? Okay. So you think that like economic hardship maybe played a big role in, you know, bringing those birth rates down?
Yeah, that's what Pew initially thought. But what's really interesting is that the decline in teen births kept going even as the economy bounced back.
Mm.
So while, you know, money problems might be part of it, it can't be the whole story.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? The TechTarget article also looked at the difference between first-time births and repeat births.
Uh-huh.
And that's where things get even more interesting.
Right. So it seems that the total drop in teen births, which was like 71%,
yeah,
actually comes from both a decrease in first-time births,
okay,
which was 67%.
Got it.
And an even bigger drop in second or, you know, third or more births.
Wow.
Which was 79%.
Okay. That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
What do you think is causing such a big drop in repeat pregnancies among teenagers?
Well, it could mean that the programs and interventions that are out there to try and prevent these repeat pregnancies are actually working.
Okay.
You know, things like making sure teens have access to birth control.
Right.
And giving them good sex ed.
Yeah, that makes sense. But even with this good news about the rates going down, both the TechTarget and the Pew Research Center articles point out that there are still differences between different groups.
Right. You know, the rates have gone down for all racial and ethnic groups,
mm-hmm,
but the gaps are still there. In 2018, for example, Hispanic and Black teens were still having babies at almost twice the rate of white teens.
Wow. That's a really important point. It makes you think that we might need different strategies for different communities.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of strategies, we also have this article from the Franklin Connection.
Okay.
It's a local news outlet here.
Uh-huh.
And I found this article really interesting because it focuses on teen birth rates right here in Washington State.
Oh, well, that's right. And it highlights how some communities are seeing even bigger drops in teen births than the national average.
Yeah, like Adams and Franklin counties.
Right, exactly.
They had the biggest decreases in the whole state.
Yeah, Adams County had an 18% drop in teen births just in the last 5 years.
Wow.
And Franklin County had a 14% decline.
That's amazing compared to that national average of just 5%.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see that local efforts can make a real difference.
Absolutely. You know, it shows that even if things are moving slowly at the national level, when you focus on a specific community and come up with a plan that works for them, you can really see some big changes.
So let's get back to the big question. What's actually driving these lower birth rates?
Okay.
The Pew Research Center mentions a few things, including more and more teens using long-acting reversible contraceptives.
Uh-huh.
Or LRRs.
Yes.
Things like IUDs and implants.
Right. And there's actual data that backs this up. The CDC found that LARC use among low-income teens who were part of the Title X program,
okay,
you know, the one that provides family planning services,
okay,
it went up from just 0.4% in 2005 to a much bigger 7.1% in 2013.
Wow, that's a huge jump.
Yeah.
It seems like when you make sure teens can get these really effective birth control methods, it makes a big difference.
Right.
But it's not just about healthcare, is it?
No.
Pew also talked about how cultural factors play a role.
Yeah.
What did they say about that?
Well, they mentioned this interesting study from the Brookings Institute.
Okay.
And it suggested that those reality TV shows about teen pregnancy.
Oh, like 16 and pregnant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They might actually be linked to fewer teens getting pregnant.
Really? You mean those shows that show how hard it is to be a teen parent could actually be discouraging teens from having kids?
That's what the research seems to say. Though it's just one piece of the puzzle, it shows you just how complicated this whole issue is. You know, everything from the economy and healthcare to the media and what's considered normal all play a part.
It's like this giant web of interconnected factors.
Exactly. And if we really want to understand what's going on with teen birth rates in the US, we need to try to untangle that web.
So we've seen these amazing drops in teen birth rates. But there's obviously more to the story than just the numbers. There are still differences between groups and this whole web of factors to try to figure out.
And in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to explore those things a little more. We'll look at things like what happens to teen moms and their kids in the long run, and all the different ways people are trying to deal with this complex problem.
Sounds fascinating. We'll be right back.
You know, one thing that I think gets overlooked sometimes in all this is
Right.
the impact of things like education and job opportunities. You
Oh.
know, when young people have good schools
Right.
and they can actually see a way to get a decent job, I think that really affects their decisions,
Makes sense.
including, you know, when to start a family.
Right. It's like if you feel like you have a good future ahead of you, you're going to want to protect that. And teen pregnancy can make it really hard to finish school or get a career going. So it makes sense that teens with more opportunities might be more careful.
And that's why those disparities we talked about before are so important. When whole communities are struggling with bad schools and no jobs, it creates these ripple effects that can impact teen birth rates too.
It's like it's all connected.
It is.
Education, jobs, healthcare, even what you see on TV.
It's like trying to untangle a giant knot.
Seriously.
And that's why a one-size-fits-all solution just won't work here. We have to look at all these different factors and how they all connect.
Yeah, if we want to make a real difference. Something else I thought was interesting in the Pew article was how they talked about social norms changing. It seems like now teen pregnancy is seen as something to avoid, not something to celebrate.
Yeah, that's a big shift.
It is, like you were saying before about cultural attitudes.
They have a huge impact on how people behave, and it seems like there's definitely more of a stigma around teen pregnancy now
Yeah,
than there used to be.
for sure. I wonder how those messages get passed on. I mean, we talk about the media, but what about parents and teachers and people like that?
Oh, they're so important. It's crucial to have open and honest conversations about sex and relationships and birth control.
But it's not just about giving them the facts, right?
No, it's about creating a space where young people feel comfortable asking questions, getting advice, without feeling judged.
So it's about trust and good communication.
And that goes for everything about sexual and reproductive health, not just preventing pregnancy.
You know, whenever I hear people talk about this topic, they always end up debating about abstinence-only sex ed. Some people say it's the only way to prevent teen pregnancy. Others say it's unrealistic and could even be harmful.
Yeah, it's a debate that's been going on forever.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the research on whether it works or not is kind of all over the place. Some studies have shown that comprehensive sex ed programs, the kind that include info about contraception, are actually better at reducing teen pregnancy rates than abstinence-only programs.
Interesting. And there's also that worry that abstinence-only sex ed doesn't give young people the knowledge they need to stay safe if they do become sexually active.
That's a really good point. You know, it's about giving young people the tools to handle relationships and sex, no matter what choices they make.
Like just pretending it doesn't exist doesn't make the problem go away. It just leaves them unprepared.
It's like sending someone out into a blizzard without a coat
Totally.
or a map. They might really want to stay warm and find their way, but they're going to be a lot better off with the right gear and some guidance.
Totally. When it comes to sexual health, knowledge is power.
The more young people know, the better decisions they can make.
So as we're wrapping up this deep dive on teen birth rates, what are some of the main things you hope people are taking away from this?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize all the progress that's been made. Teen pregnancies have gone down a lot over the last few decades.
It's pretty amazing.
It's definitely something to celebrate, but we can't stop there.
We still have work to do.
Absolutely, especially when it comes to those disparities we talked about.
Yeah, making sure that everyone has access to the resources and support they need, no matter who they are or where they live.
Exactly. We need to keep investing in good sex ed, making sure everyone can get birth control, and creating more opportunities for young people to get ahead in life.
Right. And we can't forget about those open and honest conversations we were talking about.
Yes. So, yeah.
Whether you're a parent or a teacher or just someone who cares about young people, it's so important to create a safe space for them to talk about sex and relationships.
It's about breaking down those stigmas and encouraging healthy communication.
In the end, we all have a part to play in supporting young people.
Absolutely.
And creating a better future for everyone.
I agree.
You know, it's easy to get lost in all the statistics and graphs and stuff.
Yeah.
But we got to remember that we're talking about real people here.
Right. You're absolutely right. Like, behind every single number is a teenager making choices about their future.
Right.
Dealing with all the ups and downs of being a teenager.
And we can't forget about the babies that are born to these teen parents.
Of course not.
They've got their own challenges.
Yeah, they do.
They need our support, too.
Exactly. It's about making sure that everyone has a chance to succeed.
Right.
No matter where they come from.
So it all comes back to that question we were talking about earlier. What more can we do to make sure everyone has a fair shot?
Yeah.
And that things turn out okay for everyone.
Right. There are so many pieces to this puzzle.
There really are. It's like,
it's about tackling those big problems we talked about.
Yeah.
Like making sure everyone has a chance to get a good education and a decent job.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making sure everyone can get good health care and good sex ed.
Yeah.
And it's about creating a society where teen parents and their kids feel supported.
I think a lot of people see teen pregnancy as like a personal problem.
Right.
But it's really something we all need to be thinking about.
Absolutely. It's something we need to work on together.
And it shows that we all have a responsibility to make things better for these young people.
Yeah.
So to everyone listening, here's something to think about.
Okay.
How can we each do our part to create a world where teenagers have the info and the resources and the help they need to make good choices for themselves?
It's about empowering the next generation.
Exactly. Because when we invest in young people, we're investing in our future.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for having me.